Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
A very good evening and welcome along to the special edition of the Score programme tonight as we look ahead to the new League of Ireland Premier Division season, which of course kicks off this coming weekend. Hearts and Derry are both in action on Saturday evening. Both ties start at 6 o'clock. Hearts, of course, hosting Bohemians in a game that we'll have full live commentary from here on Highland. And Derry City are on the road. They are off to take on the new boys in the top flight, Longford Town. Coming up in this League of Ireland Premier Division special, we'll hear from Finn Harps player Tony McNamee, marketing officer at Finn Park, Aidan Campbell. But first up, we're going to hear from a number of the soccer pundits. Joining me today in our package to look at the top flight of Irish football was Derry Journal sports writer Kevin McLaughlin, Highlands Finn Harps commentator and Donegal Democrat journalist Jeremy Doherty, alongside his co-com man, former Finn Harps skipper Declan Boyle.
I suppose, Declan, we'll start with you first of all, and we'll start with the Harps, because there's a lot of talk about Harps finishing mid-table. There's that anticipation ahead of the new campaign. Every other year we've been talking about Harps surviving and getting into the playoff spots. Are we losing the run of ourselves and maybe getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves as we enter into another Premier Division season, Declan?
Yeah, a difficult one. I suppose the goal for Finn Harps at the minute will be, and Ollie's goal will be, to obviously to make sure that we avoid the relegation spot and then obviously look at playoffs. And then if they're out of that scenario, then it's trying to accumulate as many points as we possibly can and the remaining games left to try to get up as far up that table as possible. But there is that excitement from the supporters, the fact that probably there has been signing of three or four marquee players have probably added to that excitement and pushed up the expectation within the club.
Jeremy, a lot of signings around Finn Park. I think it's eight in total. And there's a lot of change at Finn Park, but they seem to be quality signings that have come to Balbuffet.
Yeah, and I put that point to Ollie Horgan when I was speaking to him during the week, Oisin, and he said, well, we'll only really know how good they are once we get up and running. I think over the years, you'll always find that, you know, players that come in, you know, a certain number of them will work out and others then will be disappointing. But fingers crossed, I mean, on paper, they look to be good additions. He's lost a few players as well, of course, Oisin. So Ollie and Paul Hegarty, they had to go out and find replacements for the likes of, you know, Sam Todd has moved on, Gareth Harkin has moved on, Raf Catero, Edie Delap, players like that. So, you know, Ollie did need to go and find replacements. And I think he has done well. Will Seymour from Sligo Rovers is probably one that stands out. He's got experience. He's a central midfielder. And he's the kind of player that you'd look to, you know, to drive the club on a wee bit. And as Declan was saying, the hope is now that Harps can get off to a good start and get themselves into position where they're not battling to avoid the drop, Oisin, and that they're looking up the table rather than down the table.
Yeah, I suppose, Declan, points early on in the board, particularly against Bohemians in the opening game, will be a good start, and we'll get that process up and running.
Yeah, you do want to get off to a good start. Obviously, it's a difficult enough start for them with Bowes at home and Dundalk away the first two matches. So considering they were in the top three last year, that's a difficult start. But yeah, you want to get off to a good start at home especially. But there's been a difficult game against Bowes. Bowes turned them over at home, I think, twice last year. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But yeah, listen, it's important to get off to a good start. I bring in to regards to players. I mean, Will Seymour for sure. We obviously done a live commentary in Sligo and at home, and he was a player that really stood out at Sligo. So he's definitely a welcome addition to the squad. And he can play as well in a number of positions. He can play in centre midfield, but also we can play as a full-back or a wing-back as well. So that's having that. I think Nathan Boyle coming back into the squad as well. He's been there before and knows what Ollie's about, and Paul Hegarty as well, and being familiar there. He signed him from, obviously, Linfield, and he's been into the squad. Typical Ollie player, because he's big and strong, very aggressive, good in the air, and he'll come in as well and play in a number of positions. So he's obviously a welcome addition to the squad.
Yeah, and one thing, Declan, I know from a Harps point of view, is if we are going to finish mid-table, we're going to need a lot more goals than what we scored last year. Is that a fair enough assessment, is it?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because We know that Ollie's obviously a very defensive coach, and he likes the low block and likes to stop teams from getting them behind them. So they drop very deep. And Arthur, when you drop deep, then obviously you're giving control of the possession to the team that you're playing against. And also you need a lot of sort of energy, and need a lot of quick players to transition from the defense to the attack to do that. So, you know, obviously last year, I think we had 3 goals in the opening 8 games. And obviously as well, on top of that, you know, I think we averaged 5.6 shots in target on a given game. So you can see yourself, there isn't a problem with scoring goals. And that's probably might be the difference why we won't probably get into the top half of the table.
Yeah, I've seen Kevin McLaughlin nodding there. Kevin, we'll bring you in at this stage. You know all about goals as well. Derry City didn't have the season last year that they were hoping for, but it's going to be very much the sort of same case. What there, we're going to have to get goals. Both sides are going to have to get goals if they are going to be in that mid-table position.
Yeah, and from Derry's point of view, getting David Parkhouse back was a big signing. But he's only a young lad too. You know, people have to realise this will be only sort of third senior season. I actually think it's his second, because last year when he went back to England, he didn't have much game time. Like, so you're putting a lot of pressure. Derry fans are obviously going to be hoping he's the way the David Parkhouse of 2019. Same with Harps, with young boy coming in, another young striker back from a long-term injury, we know. So it's, yeah, that's the pressure is going to be on two young strikers to try and get the goals, and both clubs will be hoping they can do that.
Yeah, just looking at the panels, because you mentioned Parkhouse and Harps have changed things a lot, as have Derry. Kevin and Declan Devine says he's building to the future. But off the two squads, look at them on paper, would Harps possibly have maybe more experience around than what Derry would have?
Well, that's exactly it. They probably do have more experience in the League of Ireland. It's a case of Declan has now got a very young, vibrant, and to be honest, I think a Declan Devine type side, they've got young energy, legs, giving it their all. And I think that's what he wants. His first season when he was in, that's what it was about. You had Sloggett, you had Parkhouse working the socks off, Junior. Everybody was sort of working away. And he's got a solid back line. His defence is experienced, which is a biggie. Come bringing Danny Lafferty back, Kieran Call, Darren Cole, Owen Toole. You know, that's decent defensively. Big season for Nathan Gertside, obviously. It's his first start as number one, so that's going to be a big sort of big year for him. But in front of him, I think defensively, Derry looked very solid, to be fair to them, and that's where their main experience is, as in the back line.
Yeah. Jeremy, to bring you back in, is this Ollie Horgan, what's his 8th season, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
His 8th campaign, and you've seen a lot of players come through the Finn Harps, I suppose, conveyor belt and roller coaster over the last number of years. Is this the strongest side he's had in the way?
I think it probably is, Oisin. It has been improving year on year, but this season we're looking ahead to what's going to be a 36-game campaign in the league itself. Last year, if you remember, because of the COVID-19 restrictions and all that went with it, you know, teams they got started their season and all of a sudden it stopped in mid-March, and then they didn't kick a football again until, what was it, August time. So it ended up being a 16-game or an 18-game league season last year, and you had the FAI Cup on top of that as well. But this year it's going to be much longer. So squads are going to have strength and depth, Oisin, right across the board, and Finn Harps look to be pretty strong on that front, which is pleasing to see. And, I mean, he does have options as well in different positions, which is always key. And he has added, I know you mentioned there about the importance of scoring goals and things like that, but I think Ollie has done okay on that front as well. He has brought in a couple of new signings in terms of front men, and the fact that Adam Foley has rejoined again, he had a very good end to last season. So, you know, fingers crossed, you know, there is reason to be optimistic on that front too.
Yeah. What about defensively? Declan, Harps are always a hard side to break down, and Ollie's kept the core of that defence from last year.
Yeah, he has. And we know that, as I said earlier, he does base his team around being defensively very strong and being aggressive as well and being big and strong and fit to defend set plays, but also being very good at scoring set plays, and that, they did that last year. I suppose the key to that, probably David Webster, for me, was probably the most outstanding player that played for Harps last year, and I think he was voted player of the year. So it'll be interesting to see where he fits into this. Does he fit in? Last year he played a lot of time in wing back, I would say his best position is playing probably in around the three area. But there's really top players, good defenders in there. Stephen Fullan signed again as well. And we've lost Sam Todd. Sam Todd, obviously, we wish him all the best going up to UCD, and it's a big year for him up there. But he's been a player that's come in the last 3 years and been very good and very consistent as well. So they have really good players in that area. Defensively, very good. As I say, they do like to have the low block, and that stop teams from getting behind them and stops them scoring goals. But yeah, listen, it's where the spine of the team is built around, and defensively, we're going to have to be good.
Yeah. Jeremy, I know in a preview piece with Ollie Horgan, you were mentioning the Drogheda game. Now that's three games away. It's going to be the third game off the season. Is it going to be a case then, as the weeks go on, Harps are going to be picking certain matches where they feel they can pick up points in Jeremy?
I think that's always the way, isn't it, Oisin? I mean, last year they got off to a decent start when they beat Sligo Rovers at home. They went into Derry and looked to be all set to win that game as well, and they were denied with a last-minute equaliser against Derry. So, decent enough start. But then they lost against Dundalk and they lost against Cork City, and you were thinking, oh, here we go again. I think, yeah, you look at those games against Longford Town, Drogheda United, and you think, well, if you can win those, those are going to be big 3 points. But as I mentioned already, it's a long season, Oisin, and it's a case of, have they got the strength there to last that long? And what's the situation with Drogheda in terms of their strength and their squad, and similarly with Longford Town? You'd like to think the fact that Harps do have the experience now of surviving these battles to avoid the drop, that's worth a couple of points extra for them, when you look at those that are in and around them. And, there are other teams that could possibly be wondering how they're going to do. A lot of people wondering how strong Waterford are going to be this season. They're tipped by many to struggle as well. And, time will tell. We'll know how we are maybe 3 or 4 games into the new season.
We mentioned it already, Kevin, that Harps could possibly be targeting a mid-table finish. What's the target for Derry, as we alluded to already? Very much changed. Derry had always this target of getting back into European football at the start of the season. Is that a realistic one for Declan Devine's side this year?
I think it's going to be difficult. There's no denying it. There's a lot of young players, as I say, who are going to be energetic and trying to hit the ground running. But, you look at the top three from last year, Shamrock Rovers, Bohemians, Dundalk. You then add in your St. Pat's of strength and Sligo strengthened. Hearts have got the strength in there too, the core of the squad. Drogheda have also strengthened the players they've signed coming up. So, look, it's going to be difficult. But, yes, look, it'll still be Derry City's aim to try and get in the top four or top three and in the FAI Cup, maybe. And the way it's been the last couple of years, the top four has guaranteed you Europe virtually, because somebody from the top two or top three have won the FA Cup. So I'd say yes, Daryl Bayman for the top four, but I think it's going to be very difficult to get there.
Yeah. Declan, with such a young squad, is that an unrealistic target?
Yeah. Listen, I suppose if you can get a wee bit of momentum at the start, if you start off very well and pick up early points, and young lads can obviously breed confidence, and that can be all positive. I do agree that it is a young squad, so it'll take a wee bit of time to bed on the new players, but they do have energy and they do have a lot of pace, and it'll be depending on how they actually set up. I do agree as well, Kevin, in regards to defensively, they are very good. It'll be interesting to see how Danny Lafferty and Kieran Call, how that works out, because two of them are really good players. Will Danny play as a wide left, or will he, and or Kieran Call plays centre half, vice versa, depending on how that works out. So that'll be interesting for them. Defensively, very good, a lot of experience. So it's just on the top end of the pitch. Parkhouse is an excellent signing. But does he have the players out wide that'll give him the ammunition or the supply of the ball into him that'll create the problems? So that'll be interesting to see. Last year, I do believe they'd probably better players than this year. But the club are looking at maybe going down a younger route and bringing in younger players and locally as well. So, which is, for me, it's a good way to go.
North West Derbies, Harps against Derry are always big ties, guys. So they are. How important of a fixture are they, and how important are they going to be this year, Declan?
Yeah, listen, last year, as you said, Derry scored late and deservedly did in the Brandy World to get a one each. And then obviously it was a draw as well at home. So there was very little given and taken last year. I thought that Derry deserved a draw in the Brandy World. And I thought in Finn Park that the Harps had no chances to go and win the game. So, interesting to see. It really depends on what happens and where teams are in that particular moment. If they're going through a good spell or a bad spell. But yeah, listen, the North West derbies are great. Hopefully, at least for one or two of them, we might have a wee bit of a crowd, and that'll obviously add to the atmosphere, because it's been difficult for players last year when there was no crowds, no atmosphere. And it's just the one thing you do love about the atmosphere of a North West derby is having the crowd there and just the buzz factor. And it's great for players because it gives you that bit of more motivation to go out and be successful and to play well. So it'll be interesting. But it's all adding to the excitement, isn't it, of the league. I mean, it's only a short time since the season's finished, and then we're straight back into it again. And it's great because we all need something to concentrate on and talk about.
Yeah. You're tuned to Highland Radio's The Score programme. It's our League of Ireland Premier Division special as we look ahead to the new campaign this weekend. Both Finn Harps and Derry City will be starting their seasons on Saturday. Dermot and Declan will have full live match coverage from Finn Harps against Bohemians as from the 6 o'clock kickoff time here on Highland. And of course, Derry are starting on the road. They're off to Longford. Dermot, as a commentator, how excited do you get about a North West derby? Because really, they are one of the biggest games of the season. So there.
Yeah, do you know what, Oisin? I still remember going to big games whenever I was just a supporter, and it was before I joined the local media and being brought along to matches. It was a fantastic experience, especially into the Brandywell. I mean, it was great to see the small wee pockets of Finn Harps supporters dotted around the ground, huge big crowds, and okay, 9 times out of 10 or even 19 times out of 20, you ended up going back up the road after a defeat, and sometimes a heavy defeat as well. But there were some big games, some memorable encounters. The John McDade goal in the Brandywell all those years ago in a 1-1 draw on a day when Harps should have won for the first time. But yeah, listen, as a commentator, you do get excited, Oisin, and Declan's right. You know, the supporters not being at these matches is a big, big factor as well, and we shouldn't forget about that. I mean, fingers crossed, you know, we might see an easing of restrictions towards mid-season or whatever, and we might be able to get some fans back in. But that is a factor whenever the matches, when you're preparing for these games, because, you know, Finn Harps at home to Derry City, big crowd, it's a fantastic match day experience. And it is a factor in the game, because Harps would be helped by you know, a big home support, and the same with Derry then in their home fixtures. One other factor about the North West games this year as well, Oisin, is the fact that all three clubs have signed players that were across channel with clubs in England and are back now playing at League of Ireland level. I'm talking Ryan Rainey at Finn Harps, who was with Wolves a few seasons back. He spent a couple of seasons with Bunnegy United. Now he's making the step up to League of Ireland level. You've got Mark Walsh signing with Derry City, and you've got Shane Blaney signing with Sligo Rovers. Three Donegal men who were all very, very good prospects at underage level. And it'll be really, really interesting to see how they get on at a senior level now.
Yeah. We're not too far away, Kevin McLaughlin, from the first of the derbies, May the 3rd. I think it is. How big are these games, and how much of a kick is it if Harps can manage to pull off what is a very, very rare one in the derbies?
Well, it'll give them a massive lift. They're denying that. And I know I agree with Egan. Last year at Finn Park, they should have won. There's no denying it. They had enough chance that they won the game. Derry then at the Brandywell last year, when there were crowds, scored the last kick of the game and live and RTE, and the atmosphere was unbelievable, and you do miss it. I know Derry try to get sort of their own through the speaker sort of sound of spectators and all that there, and players were shocked even at that too. You know, I spoke to David Parkhouse recently, and he was saying one of the pre-season friendlies, he was sort of wondering where this noise was. But then when you get started, you just sort of forgot about it, but it is, you definitely miss it. That makes so much difference to every player and every team. And it'll prove where anybody finishes this season is how much they can motivate themselves, because that's what it's all about now, because there's no fans in the ground.
Yeah. I know in your supplement, the Derry Journal this week, Kevin, player welfare was given a page, dedicated a page to. It's something that probably we didn't think we'd be talking about over the last number of seasons. There's no crowds there, but there obviously is an effect on players as well. And what did you get back from your piece in the paper, and what did you guys take out of it about the issue of player welfare and how it impacts on the League of Ireland?
Well, I think, to be fair, the Derry City, they've done really well with this. It's a sort of initiative for the whole club. It's not just the first team as such. It's the ladies team to the under-15s team. And, you know, we're four blokes on here chatting. We're not a big fan of this sort of talking to people about issues that you might have. And this is something where Derry City have got people that are fans and they know them. The person I spoke to was the priest father, Chris Ferguson. He's well known in the city. He's a massive Derry City fan. A lot of the players would know. So they're going to feel comfortable if they need to have any chats about anything at all. Outside of football, there's a lot going on in people's lives, particularly during lockdown. You know, everybody's life has completely changed from last March before everything sort of went pear-shaped, shall we say. But it's a case of, I give credit to Derry City for doing this and you know, start giving players opportunities to go and speak to people. They're not going to have all the answers, but at least they're going to be there to, as Father Chris alluded to in my pieces, they're going to be there to sit and talk to, and they're there to listen to at least.
Yeah. Declan, Ollie Horgan said it a number of weeks ago, we're privileged to be playing football. Is that very much the case?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, we know with the GAA, obviously, and they're not allowed to come back in again, so that professional status that the League of Ireland has given them the opportunity to play. So, yeah, listen, the privilege to be playing. I think to go back on Kevin's point there as well, I think it's really important to be look after the players. We know that the game is about skill and technique, but there's also the mental side of the game. And people are going through bad times off the pitch. It's really important that there's support there and the mechanism there for players to go and speak to people, because if you have a player that's going through a hard time, it's very difficult for him to go out and perform to a certain level on a match day. So I think that mental side, and if at the top true problems, can really help the player, but also can bring the best out of him as well. So it's great to see that Derry are taking that initiative on board, and hopefully more clubs will follow suit. Yeah, so it's, yeah.
Okay, guys, we'll come back to Finn Harps and Derry City in a few moments. We're going to talk about maybe some of the other sides and a club that's not too far away from both Harps and Derry, Sligo Rovers, part, of course, of the derby matches as well. And Declan, you know Sligo quite well. They had a brilliant end of season when we returned from football last year. Liam Buckley has added eight or nine new signings as well. And they'll be looking to improve on getting to Europe last year. So what's their target going to be?
I would think probably something similar, to get into that top four, maybe in top three, and really good cup run. They've added, for me, they probably, of all the teams, they probably added the best quality. Romeo Parks come back in from America. He's obviously a great goal scorer, scored a lot of goals 2 seasons ago, so he will be an addition. Shane Blaney come back in from Doncaster. He's a good addition as well. I had Shane as my captain on their 17s for 2 years, and he's an excellent player, so he gives him the opportunity and come back in and obviously play with Finn Harps a couple of matches before he left with Ollie in centre half position, so he's an excellent player. John Mahan came back from a broken leg. He broke his leg against Athlone in a pre-season match. He came back towards the tail end of the season, so he's obviously another welcome addition. Colin Horgan that came from Derry City, a fullback. Good experience, been around the clubs with Cork, with Derry, now with Sligo Rovers. Obviously started his career with Galway, and you know he brings a wee bit of experience. Greg Bulger, Greg Bulger was Shannon Rovers last year, has a lot of injuries, played with Cork, won different titles, Premier Division titles, also I think is the most league appearance from any player in Europe. Robbie McCourt was in Waterford last year. He's come in and can play in midfield, can play wide left, fullback, and left side centre back. Jordan Gibson, that played last year as well with St. Pat's. I really like him. He's a quick winger. Was very good for St. Pat's. He came back from Bradford City, and he's really a good addition. And then they also have Walter Figueroa that was with Derry, and he's another top addition. So you look through the signings they've made, they've really, really good quality in all the top ends of the pitch, but also defensively as well. If you add that to players that they had there before, they seem to have added really quality. So it'll be interesting to see how they go out this season, but I'm expecting them to be in the top three or four.
Okay. Jermid, can they upset the top two?
Well, that's the big question. I always find that the Sligo Rovers seem to go with a smaller squad than most other clubs every season. And, you know, well, listen, hopefully that won't be a factor for them. But, I mean, you know, as Donegal football fans, we have a good relationship with Sligo Rovers supporters as well. And you'd love to see them do well, Oisin. They bring so much to the League of Ireland. Fantastic venue up there and so much progress being made off the pitch as well. Declan's right, they have made good signings, haven't they? They've lost players too, of course. And I think even they possibly even surprised themselves by how well they did last season. The break in the season seemed to help them, and they kicked on after that. Good team, good players, good way of playing. You know, it'd be great to see them do well.
The favourites will be the defending champions, no doubt. Kevin McLaughlin, what do you make of Shamrock Rovers as they go on to defend their Premier Division crown?
Yeah, I think they're rightfully favourites. But I do feel that, you know, this year, attack-wise, they've lost two big players in Jack Byrne and Aaron McAniff. They were, like, between them, I think it was 50-odd goals with chances or goals scored that they were involved in for Rovers. So, they're, you know, you start losing that amount of goals from your side, it's going to be difficult. But look, they still have unbelievable quality. You've seen in the President's Cup game against Dundalk, you know, McCann just come in there, saw Dundee, Munfield, Danny Manders come in. Gaffney's like a new signing up top for them. You know, Aaron Green's in the bench. They're still going to be impressive. When you add in the likes of Sean Gannon, Sean Hoare from Dundalk, defensively, they're very solid. And having only conceded 7 goals last year, oh yes, it was only 18-game season, but they conceded 7 goals, and you've added possibly 2 of the best defenders in the country into your squad. Well, they're going to be more solid this year. So while he may not be free-flowing going forward with the likes of McAniff and Byrne left, I still think they're the team that everybody has to try and beat if you want to win the league.
Yeah. Can Dundalk reclaim the title, Declan? We've got a quick glimpse of them last weekend, but are Dundalk on the charge back?
It's very difficult to know at this point in time. I do believe that they lost quality as well. I think Sean Gannon's gone and also Sean Hoare's gone as well. So that's 2 big players for them defensively. So it's okay. I mean, it's bad enough losing them, but you're losing them to your number one opposition, which is Shamrock Rovers. So there's been a wee bit of turmoil as well in regards to the management. Who's the coach? Who's the manager? Who's leading things? That's, you know, whether that leads to the problem as well. Also, when you to get a lot of players that don't know the league, which Dundalk have done, it takes a wee bit of time to bed those players in. They don't know, you know, exactly how the league is. They don't know how what the opposition is as well. So that's going to be an interesting factor. I suppose, I know Dundalk thought that because of a shorter season that they weren't really giving Shamrock Rovers the credit they deserved over the 18 league matches. But now it's a longer program, so it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. And Dundalk have come good in the last, where there has been long seasons, they've come good in the very, very end and come over the line. But yeah, very interesting to see. If Shamrock Rovers get off to a very good start, it's very hard to see that Dundalk will pull them back. I don't think they have that amount of goals. They've lost a lot of players as well. But I agree that Shamrock Rovers have lost their 2 key players with Aaron McAniff and Jack Byrne. And I mean, Jack Byrne's involved with 41% of all of their team goals. 41%. Leave that out of their squad. It's impeccable. So that's very difficult to replace that. But if anybody can, Shamrock Rovers have signed well and they do have the players to score goals.
Okay, I've got a feeling then that's going to be the top 2 come the end of the season. And listen, you're going to have Bowes and St. Pat's and a few others that are hoping in there to get into the mix. But we're running out of time here, Jeremy. The bottom half of the table, obviously when you come up, it's very, very difficult to stay in the top flight. And the new boys this time around are Drogheda and Longford Town.
Yeah, and Kevy mentioned it earlier on there about Drogheda United, that they have added well to their squad ahead of the new season. Oisin, I would agree with that. Dan O'Reilly, who played with Harps a few years back, is among the players that they have brought in. They've signed players with Premier Division experience. No surprise there, because the teams in and around the Dublin area seem to be able to do that. I suppose from my own point of view, my surprise was that a couple of the Harps guys, the likes of Dave Webster, Adam Foley's, that are based down there, that they weren't targeted by those clubs. Perhaps they were, we don't know, but it was good to see them signing back for Harps. Yeah, Longford and Drogheda, everybody's going to be looking at them to see how they're going to get on, Oisin. It's difficult getting out of the first division, so, you know, credit to them for achieving that. First of all, you know, we probably thought Shelburne would have survived in the playoffs. That didn't happen, and they went down despite all the strength and experience they had within their squad last year. So good start needed for both teams. Big weekend ahead. Longford Town opening against Derry City. What a fantastic fixture for them to mark their return to the Premier Division with the visit of Derry. So exciting weekend ahead. And as you mentioned earlier, Harps going to Drogheda in their third game, and that's going to be a key fixture even so early in the season.
Okay, back to Kevin McLaughlin. Kevin, you're on the road. You're at Longford. That could be a sticky one, a sticky opener for you.
It could be, but, you know, ideally you would want them to be at home. But, yes, don't get me wrong. If you're going to get anybody, it's probably the newly promoted side you want to play at home. Look, it's away. It's going to be difficult. They're going to be, they've tried, I think it's 5 odd years, the last couple of years, of trying to get back into the Premier. The big thing is, again, we know supporters. If that hadn't been a supporters, the fans coming out, their first game back in the top flight, it could have been a lot more difficult. Derry now are going in there with no fans, just, you know, the town might be buzzing in Longford, but you've nobody in there. It's a you know, an even playing field. So I think Derry, from that point of view, I'll be grateful for that. And to be honest, I just think Derry will just a wee bit too much for Longford in the first game. Obviously that's what they're hoping for, but I do think, you know, defensively that's where Derry will be strong enough, and maybe Parkhouse, they nick one up the other end.
Okay, then. Your predictions, guys, finally, as we go into the season, where do you think the North West clubs will be come the end of the campaign? We're going to stick with you first of all, Kevin. Where do you think Derry are going to be as we come to the end of the 2021 season?
I think, to be honest, mid-table. I think if they get maybe 6th or 7th, that's where I think they'll end up. Obviously, I hope I'm proved wrong and they can march up the table, but I just think there's too much quality and experience quality around the league that we're there, and then I'll just finish mid-table, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Okay, Jeremy, back to you. Your predictions on... Sorry, Kevin, we'll go back to you again. Harps, in relation to Harps, where do you think Harps is going to be?
Similar, I think they'll be mid-table. I don't think there'll be any danger of relegation this year. I think that they've signed well. They've got the experience, as Jeremy alluded to earlier, bringing back, you know, Webster and boys they got, who could have went, they drew it, didn't, and signed again. I think, again, Harps, yes, going forward is going to be always the problem, the Achilles heel, so to speak. But I do think that Harps will be mid-table and not need to worry about relegation this year.
Yeah, can we do it back-to-back as avoiding playoffs and relegation, Jeremy?
I think so, Oisin. I think it's great as well. We shouldn't forget having the three teams from the Northwest in the top division. You know, it's fantastic. We've got these derbies to look forward to. And I think all three clubs are well placed to make their mark this season. I'm going for Sligo to get into the 4th or 5th around that mark. Harps next to them, and then Derry possibly 7th, and Kevin might not like that. But I think Harps could finish above Derry this year. Remember last year, they actually finished level on points, and Derry, when it had the better goal difference, that's how they ended up above them on the table. But, you know, there's not much between them, Oisin.
You wouldn't like that, would you, Kevin?
No, I'd agree with you, Kevin. There's not much between them, there's no doubt about it, but he's right. It was the goals that kept them up last year above them, and nothing's changed. Is that stakes Derry have signed Parkhouse, Harps haven't strengthened going forward. So it might be the goals again this year keeps them above them.
Okay, Declan, where do you see the lay of the land come October time?
Yeah, listen, it's like Jeremy, I think it's great to have the three teams fighting, and it's really important that three teams remain in the Premier League afterwards, and that'll be key. For Harps, I'm hopeful that we'll obviously avoid the automatic, but I'm guessing that we could push up the table a wee. But like Derry, I think there'll be very little difference between Derry and Harps. I'm looking probably in mid-table as well, maybe Derry a wee bit ahead of us. But again, a lot can depend on what happens in July when you bring players in and out. There'll be a lot of changes in July, and that happens every year. I think the Sligo Rovers should be looking to hop into the either the 4th or pushing towards the 3rd position. I think they're off to a good start. But it's great to have this debate, isn't it? Because you just don't know what's going to happen, and that's what leads to a long season. You'll find last year that a lot of times you had teams that were 3rd, and then they were 5th, and then they were 7th, and teams were dropping in. So there's always a lot of toeing and froing from that mid part of the table. So it'll be interesting to see. But hopefully both Harps and Derry City will be in the mid-table area.
Okay, and we're hoping that we get the full season this year and we get the 36 games. Listen, guys, that's it from the Scores League of Ireland preview. It does, of course, get up and running this weekend, both Derry and Harps in action on Saturday evening. Former Finn Harps captain and commentator with Highland Radio, Declan Boyle, or main man, Jeremy Doherty, and, of course, Kevin McLaughlin of the Derry Journal. Gentlemen, Thank you for joining me this evening and looking ahead to the Premier Division. And we're all hoping for top quality football this year.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Interesting views there from Dermot Doherty, Kevin McLaughlin, and of course, Declan Boyle. Just a reminder, listeners, once again, I think we've done it several times already, but we'll do it again. Live commentary this coming Saturday from Finn Park, Harps against Bohemians live on Highland as from the 6 o'clock kickoff time in association with BNS Credit Union, Main Street, Ballybuffet. On the international front, Derry City goalkeeper Nathan Gartside has been called in to the Northern Ireland squad ahead of the World Cup qualifiers against Italy and Bulgaria. It's the first time the 23-year-old has been called up to the senior squad. He previously played under manager Ian Barraclough at under-21 level. Agnew Stanley, striker Dean Charles also gets a call up there to the Northern Ireland setup. Meanwhile, Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny named his 29-man squad for the qualifying matches against Serbia and Luxembourg and the friendly with Qatar. Seamus Coleman is named amongst the defenders, having returned to fitness in the past week for his club Everton. Shane Duffy, James McLean and Ronan Curtis are also named in the squad there. But there is four goalkeepers. One of those is Kevin Keller, but the manager is expecting an update on the player before they report for international duty on Sunday. So that's some news on the international front. Let's go back to the SSE Air Trustee League of Ireland situation. We're just days out now from the start of the new campaign. It gets underway, of course, with matches on Friday. But from a northwest point of view, Finn Harps and Derry City, of course, will start their campaigns on a Saturday evening. As for the Ballybuffet outfit, eight new faces have joined the ranks under manager Ollie Horgan for the new campaign. Remelton man Tony McNamee is in his second spell with Harps since he first stepped up to senior football, which was 6 years ago. Speaking of Dermot Doherty, he feels this is one of the strongest squads around Finn Park in a number of years.
Okay, Tony McNamee, another new season, looking forward to a new campaign.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's the way we finished the season last season. I think everyone's sort of a wee bit excited to come in this start of the season. Pre-season's obviously not the most important thing, but results-wise, we sort of need to get around ourselves.
Yeah. You and Barry, you were among the first to put pen to paper ahead of the new campaign, Tony, so I'm sure you were always glad to get that sorted so that you could get down to concentrate and getting back to action.
Yeah, well, obviously at the end of every season, you want to take a week or two before you sort of decide what you're doing for the following season. So, again, I think Barry and Mark Tillman were the first two, and then myself and a few of the other boys got signed up towards the end of November then. But no, towards the end of the season, because we finished the season so well, it was another reason to come back, and just excited now towards the start of the season.
The feeling would be that you're part of a squad that's improving year on year.
Yeah, well, since I know it took 2 years out, but the squad seems to improve every year since I came into the club in 2015. I know you're getting more boys from not from around the county, like, but technically wise, you're getting with probably the best squad that we've had in years. Obviously the first thing any Harps team that anyone wants from a Harps team is that basically first and foremost you work hard and you do the dogged stuff fairly well and make Finn Park a hard place to come to win, but technically we've probably the best squad of players that we've had in the years I've been here anyway.
And having options and strength and depth is important too, Tony, because no, last year was a shortened season because of the COVID and the restrictions, etc. This year, hopefully, we won't have that. So that'll mean a 36-game season, which will obviously eat into the panel.
Yeah, well, again, no one wants to come here and sit on the bench or even sit in the stand and watch the games. Like, there's, 27 or 28 players here. Everyone wants to play. And it's just one of them things, I suppose. You'll probably be playing twice a week and you'll just need the basis of the squad. I don't think every player will play every minute towards in the whole season. Like, Mark Antony will probably claim that he will, but no, we've got the basis of a good squad now, to be fair. There's competition for places all over the pitch, like, and it'll be a brave help.
Yeah. What about yourself? How have you found pre-season? Are you one of these players that dreads the hard work?
I'm not a big fan of pre-season, but again, everyone probably comes into the pre-season nowadays in decent shape. You don't want to be felt left behind, and then it's just a matter of sort of getting fitter as the time goes on. And then with the likes of the matches and all in pre-season, it's about match fitness as opposed to your training.
You guys are blessed with these facilities here at the community centre in Letterkenny. Tony, great pitch out there to be working on. Despite the bad weather, there's no problems there in terms of the playing surface?
Oh, yes. The one thing that we're lucky with is the fact that we have the community centre here. To be fair, the Finn Valley have been very good to us as well. Obviously, you want to play on as good a surface as you can. You'll get nothing different out of Lasseter, regardless what the weather is. There was a couple of days with the bad snow that we got the pitch cleared enough for us to train, but we're lucky to we have excellent facilities here.
Yeah, because so many other sports aren't able to train so many other players and other teams. Tony, they're probably passing by and looking down at you guys training with envy.
Yeah, it would be. I've spoke to a few boys that the likes of boys playing intermediate football here, even the boys that I played Gaelic with and all, and I wouldn't say they're not happy with it, but as I say, it's not really our fault that we've been told we can go ahead and train and everything. We're lucky enough that we're allowed to train and we're allowed to play.
Well, listen, best luck for the new season.
Thanks.
So there you go. That's Finn Harps player Tony McNamee looking forward to yet another season with the Harps, and the one he feels that they do have possibly quite the strongest squad available to Ollie Horgan, and they've had it in some years. Staying with all things Harps, this of course is the Premier Division preview on the Score programme tonight here on Highland. And let's get some info as to what's been happening away from the playing personnel. Marketing Officer Aidan Campbell now joins us. Aidan, a very good evening.
Good evening, Oisín. How are things?
Well, we're not too bad, Aidan. How's things with you, and how's preparations been, as I said, away from the playing personnel? It's been a very busy couple of months, I'm sure, for you guys at committee level and trying to get things right for the start on Saturday.
Yeah, that's very true, Oisín. We know after the final whistle went at the end of last season, Molly and the backroom staff would have started, looking at assembling whatever squad. They talk of competing in the division this year, but off the pitch, obviously, the committee met and looked at our strategy going forward. And like everybody's, there's the uncertainty over with the whole COVID thing. So we had to look at what kind of figures that were realistic for the year ahead. And a lot of the people who would normally, sponsor the club are going through their own difficulties, and they've been absolutely brilliant to us, but they've got their own issues to deal with at the moment. So we've been right across the board, Oisín. You see the guys like Charlie McHugh, who's been with the club for so long, and the Lotto and his team, and they've been managed to do it remotely. They've kept the draw going, and so himself and the team have been, doing video updates for the fans and the supporters. Our social media team has been doing a great job of keeping everybody up to date, because, the supporters want to know what's going on behind the scenes, and, whether it's the stuff with, the transfers coming in, or just any developments within the club. And, it takes a lot of coordination, a lot of work out of their time, and they've just been absolutely brilliant. And I mentioned the sponsors there. A lot of small businesses are back on board this year, just with Wee Player sponsorships and match ball sponsorships and that type of thing. And they've just been so good to us despite their own difficulties. So then obviously around the grounds, getting the pitch ready, there's been a lot of work put into it since the end of last season. And we're confident we'll have that looking good for Saturday. Obviously then just wee bits and pieces around the ground. All of that takes work as well. So Then you've got your office admin stuff like the licensing, the license driver card, the license to run a football club, and that all has to be done from the office, and that's just been great work there as well. So it's been a matter of just trying to adapt, a lot of remote working, and Oisín, like everybody has, and of course we're volunteer based, so we have to coordinate that as well. But the great effort around the club, and we just want to, thank everybody for their support. Even though the supporters haven't been in the ground you know, last year they've very much kept with us, and we're looking forward now to just getting started. We'd love to have the supporters in the ground, because I think we have, you know, we're very excited about some of the players that have been brought in and the lads we signed again from last year. So hopefully we can get the supporters back in as soon as possible. But, you know, as you know, we've a streaming service is available with the League of Ireland. And if people go on to our website on finarts.ie, they can get details of how to sign up for that.
Yeah. Obviously, you're sort of used to this sort of scenario off the back of last year, Aidan, and trying to get, last time round you were trying to prepare for the return of football and the resumption of the league. Now you're starting a season on the same boat. The FAI have come on board once again and are helping out the respective clubs, which obviously Finn Harps are very much welcoming and taking that support, but it's not something that you want to see to go on for the rest of the season, Aidan.
It's not, Oisin, and to be honest, it's tremendous to get that type of support, but it goes nowhere near to covering, you know, the cost of what we need to do. So, as I said, you know, our fundraising team and the supporters have been brilliant. We've got a car draw coming up on Easter Saturday, and again, people can see how to enter. There's two cars on offer in the draw, and that's vital to us that's a success. And a lot of hard work has gone into that. So, you know, again, if people go onto the website, they can see how to enter. Our 500 club members are always there with us. They're very much tied up with the first team and the acquisition of new players that we can, you know, that we can bring in and give us the best possible chance. So I have to give them a mention too. So, you know, it's, you know, to get the support is great, Oisin, but it covers a certain percentage of what we can do. The rest has to be obviously earned. So between the fundraising and sponsorship and stuff like that, it's just vital we keep that ongoing until, you know, because gate revenue has always been, you know, very important to us. It may have just covered a third of our revenue in previous years, but that third is obviously, we're dependent on that to make ends meet. So, as I said, you know, the supporters can keep in touch on the streaming service, and obviously with so much kind of coverage online now with yourselves in the media, and obviously yourselves will be doing live coverage of the match as well on Saturday. And I think everybody's really excited about it, Oisin, you know, because people are looking for something just to give, you know, these difficult times. It's nice to have something positive to look forward to, and we know it's going to be a difficult year, but we showed last year at the end of, particularly in the second half of the season, that, you know, we could compete with these professional teams, and we were winning matches and playing some really good football. And so, yeah, we're just looking forward now to getting going on Saturday.
Yeah, from your point of view, I know there's a great buzz around the season this year, even without the supporters and the current COVID climate that we're in. But there's a bit of a buzz, a bit of an air of anticipation that Harps are targeting quite possibly mid-table this year. And for once, we're not talking about avoiding the automatic drop, getting into the playoff place. We stayed up last year. Harps looking to make it back-to-back seasons where they're not involved in any of that end of season drama. Is that something that you're feeling as well, Aidan?
Well, you'll get me in trouble with the manager. Oisin, look, we were very happy with the football we played at the end of last year, Oisin, and you know it has to be re-emphasized that it's still the majority of teams are full-time professional teams, and we train in the evening. So, you know, staying in that division is vital to us, so we can just develop the club just a wee bit more, you know. And you know, there's still a lot of things against us, including our location and so on, but you know, we've a few nearer matches this year. You know, we don't have to travel as far. Perhaps, you know, you've got Sligo and Derry, and then you've got Drogheda and Dundalk and Longford as well. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, Oisin. What we're really looking forward to, it's you know, the aim will obviously be always to stay in the division, but just to have good competitive matches where we're competing and we're holding our own. This division's always been difficult for us, but you know, as I said, the end of last year, you saw some real quality games, and we were scoring goals and playing good football. And there's players like Barry McNamee at the club, and you know, we brought in the likes of Adam Foley and Dave Webster and Stephen Folan last year, and they've got a bit of experience about them. That experience is vital. So, you know, I wouldn't rule out that if it could be touch and go, because that's what our history tells us where we'll be. But at the same time, there is a bit of an anticipation there that, you know, we can go out against a lot of the Dublin teams and teams that we've historically found it difficult against and give them a good game.
Okay, listen, we look forward to the games. We look forward to the supporters coming back whenever that may be. Best of luck to you in your trip ahead of the opening weekend, Aidan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Oisin. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The marketing officer at Finn Park, that is Aidan Campbell. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. The Premier Division special as we look ahead to the new season. Just to remind you once again, Finn Harps against Bohemians live on Highland as from the 6 o'clock kickoff time on Saturday. On commentary, Jeremy Doherty and former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyd will also be taking our bulletins live on Saturday afternoon from Finn Park in the lead up to the game as well. It's very exciting. Football is back. If you missed any of the show, go to highlandradio.com. You'll be able to listen back there. And indeed, you'll be able to watch our preview special as well with Declan, Jermid and Kevin, which was on earlier in the programme. More sport tomorrow morning. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. Good night.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.